Need some outfit inspiration? See the hottest street fashion Utah has to offer in our monthly Slug Style feature.
Shh. Are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves.
I took the cookie from the cookie jar. It was me. I ripped out all the feathers from the sofa too. Yes, I did.
Hello, we are Moodlight. I am Katya, the lead singer.
And I'm Evan, a producer and saxophonist.
And we also have Tor Carlson, who is our rhythm guitarist, a producer also, and plays the keys, and Sean Eckel, who is our bassist and lead guitarist. So I think our music always stems from sort of an acoustic bass. I sing, there's a saxophone, there's guitar and keys and sort of those basic elements, but I have some super weird vocal effects that I use for recording and performing, and then we use an electronic synths with the keyboard, and then some like cool effects on the bass and the guitar, and we have an electronic drum kit, so the whole thing has an electronic element to it.
The way I would describe our music, alternative indie electronic, we pull from a lot of different types of genres, from Katya's kind of soulful, timeless vocals to like a jazzy sax improvisation groove, to like a club house beat to a slow, beautiful ballad. We try to create
a little bit of
try to kind of keep people on their toes and keep people interested.
And I think creatively are always hopping back and forth between different things. It seems that when we work on an electronic piece for a while, or at least for me, and I think kind of for all of us, after finishing that, we are sort of like, you know, an acoustic song, and writing something simpler and more, you know, soft is, we like crave that after being, you know, so in like that other mode. And vice versa, we've written a couple acoustic songs, and they're so nice to just be able to relax into it and sort of like tell this like ballad story. And then afterwards, I feel like we kind of get this creative kick of producing and getting really weird with all of the sounds that we make, and sort of make a song that makes us just like want to dance all around the house.
At this point, we've played in like a wide variety of venues, and that's kind of forced us to develop both soft material and like more danceable types of songs. And so we're getting to the point now where we're kind of able to pick and choose from that bank, I guess, of music, so we can better fit what venue we're playing at the moment.
And it's fun because venues that we think we should have a higher energy set, we have all of those songs, and then venues that we think maybe we should, you know, it's going to be maybe like an older crowd or a more conservative crowd, we're like, okay, we go towards all of our softer songs or maybe more of our covers or whatever. But then there are a few venues, Soundwell is one of them, that I think we can be so ourselves, and that is the best because we can sort of, it's like fun writing our set list before the performance, and we're like, okay, we're gonna be kind of soft right now, and then we're gonna pick it up, and we're gonna do this song that no one's expecting. And it's kind of funny to feel that ride when we can truly just like let go and do all of the songs that we want in kind of a funny order, because it showcases all of our different things that we do, and it's a funny set. It's interesting.
Yeah, and I think part of that is due to like the differences in each person and like the qualities that they bring
totally.
In their own musicianship. Sean, for instance, played in, like, I guess kind of a reggae rock band for what was it, like more than 5 years before
in Texas
before joining our group, and he was pretty much brand new to electronic music, and so bringing him in and having him kind of like develop an ear through us for like what we were doing, but then we're introducing him to the music that we listen to, and so he kind of gets an idea of like how to critique it and hear what he wants to hear, and that's allowed our sound to kind of be refined in a more accessible manner, because I would say with any sort of electronic production, it's really easy to get carried away with sounds and like just make them go crazy, and they sound cool for a little bit, but then the more you listen to them, they can get pretty annoying. So having
this makes no sense.
Yeah, having someone like Sean or Katya to kind of like reel us back in and keep our music accessible is always nice.
Our recordings and recording time versus our live performances, I think the two of them are getting more similar in terms of their overall sound quality and just energy. I think we used to have, there used to be more of a discrepancy, and the types of sounds and the type of music that we were creating in the studio wasn't replicable for live performances, partially because of just our skill level and our overall bandmanship. But I think the most important thing is Ableton, right? Which is the software that they use to produce.
Yeah, so we use both Logic and Ableton. We started on Logic, and that's where we do most of our songs that we anticipate eventually releasing. But from those, we have also been able to take kind of like the skeletons of songs and beats we've made in there and transfer them into Ableton, which that program allows us to trigger these clips and these backing tracks kind of in time, in sync with the group as we play live. Like, for instance, we don't have a drummer, but we're able to create basically whatever drum pattern we want with whatever sounds we want and sync them behind us. And it gives us a lot of freedom, but it also can be very frustrating at times since there is kind of an infinite possibilities. You have to settle with what you're working with, basically. And I think we do it pretty well. We're becoming a lot more efficient, which is pretty encouraging.
Yeah, and I think delivering a performance with those tracks and with all of our live instruments, that is now becoming almost more refined and more sophisticated almost than our recordings, which I think is a great problem to have, but it mm-hmm. requires us being really aware of what is happening in our performances and what makes it so special, and bringing that back to the recording studio. And I think it's everything from, you know, mic issues. You know, it's like I want to sing fully with all of that energy that I do when I'm performing, but you know, there's like your S's and your F's and your P's and everything is just like popping when you listen back to it. So just like logistical stuff like that. But I think also you can, at least from my perspective, when I'm recording and in a recording session and trying to like record the vocals over this whole entire song, it's like, it's hard because sometimes it takes a number of takes, but each time I do it, I have to be just as present with the story that I'm telling, because I think that is where you can really hear the emotion behind it. And I think that's when I perform, I feel good. I feel we're all good at that, really being present with the message and present with the song and really delivering what it is.
Yeah, I would say it's funny. We have, what, like 6 songs on Spotify right now, but when we play a full live set, we have 17 originals, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
so a ton of material that we haven't yet recorded.
Right, just because that process could be really tedious. But now we're basically able to almost test these tracks and continue to improve upon them as we perform them live. And so we get them closer and closer to a spot where we feel satisfied to the point of being like, all right, let's bounce this full track and start to record our live instruments over it. you want to be efficient and be productive, but at the same time, you never want to rush anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made that mistake in the past. Like, we sometimes, I think, look back at some songs we've released and, like, are like, ah, we maybe should have spent more time on that.
For sure.
But there is a fine line between being satisfied with something and moving on and knowing when to move on.
For sure. And I Love You But is a song, for example, is our first, kind of one of our first actual songs that we released on Spotify. Yeah. And we had pretty much, I had recorded all the vocals, they produced the whole thing, and then we were about to release it, and I was like, no, I have to redo all of the vocals. And they were like, are you kidding me? And I was like, no, I'm serious, I just have to redo the vocals. And it was funny because for like, I don't know, maybe a few days or like a week or something, I'm not feeling it, I can't do it right now. And they're like, okay, you have to understand what this is like for us. And I'm like, you just have to understand that it just needs to come with time. And then one day, it was like a Saturday, everybody else, you know, went out, and I was like, this is the night. And I just locked myself in the studio in the dark, and I did, I think, you know, almost like a one take of that song, and I was like, that was it. And then we released it, and I'm so happy listening back to it now, because it was worth it. And I had to wait, like I said, for that moment to just have the story flow through me as naturally as possible.
We're still kind of in our first year of Moodlight.
Yeah, Sean came into the band in about October
2018.
Of 2018, yeah, so.
But before that, it was Katya, Tor, and I, and we were making it work, but it was difficult.
It definitely felt like there were some pieces missing. We were thinking about a bassist. We were thinking about a drummer. We've always wanted like a violinist and some other cool elements like that. But we for sure needed some sort of foundational piece that we didn't have. And Sean is basically our neighbor and mutual friend. And we met him through that. And he is a jeweler. And he makes all of this really cool jewelry. He's Sean Echo Jewelry on Instagram. You should follow him. He's really, really amazing. So we just sort of started jamming at first and seeing if it felt right, and it totally did. And so he stuck around, and he was in a band in Texas, like we said, and I think was coming out of that thinking that he was done with music for a while and he was really going to focus on his jewelry. And then we sort of came into his life, and I think he loved the music, I think, just as much as we loved him being part of the music. And so we kind of just started working on it more and more, and it became more of a full-time commitment, even just in terms of exploring new songs and starting to write together. And
yeah, and I think he knew what he was able to provide, and like how his musicianship and his experience, how much it added to our sound. And yeah, ever since he started to join, I would say after like a few months of rehearsal, like early January, February of this year, we started to have our first like venue shows in Salt Lake. So Kilby Court and Soundwell and some other places where we've started to reach a wider audience in Salt Lake. And our sound has continued to grow. We've had, what, 3 shows now at Soundwell?
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the venue that has suited us the best. So you should come see us this Saturday. It's been interesting because the growth has been kind of forced upon us in a sense. We've had these connections through other musicians that Katya has worked with, and so we've been able to open for a few artists here in Salt Lake, such as The Human Experience, and that was our first show at Soundwell.
Yeah, and he was somebody that I met when I went to New York on a solo trip, just sort of hoping to form these connections with these people that I had seen perform live, and they were so inspiring to me. And yeah, it's Cat Factor and The Human Experience, David Block, and so I went out there and was just sort of wondering what would happen, and we ended up making this music together, just, you know, him and I, me as a vocalist, and on his work and our work together with the three of us. And I came back to Salt Lake City, and we had kept in touch a little bit, and I went on another trip with him, actually, but it was sort of just me and him, and it wasn't really, Moodlight didn't really have anything to do with that musical connection. It was sort of just a totally separate collaboration. But then it just felt like out of nowhere, was it Adam at Soundwell reached out and was like, you know, David wants you to open for him wants Moodlight to open for him at Soundwell. And I remember us being like, oh my gosh. And at that point, I think we felt ready in terms of the quality.
Yes and no.
I was confident, but it was a scary step because up until that point, it was sort of like this sort of outside musician coming in and being like, do you want to open for me? And it was, we had to think of are we good enough?
and it went really well, but I would say that is one thing that has helped us get where we are now. We also played at Lightning in a Bottle this summer. And when we first found out about that, it was like, whoa, we've seen some of the best shows of our lives here. And so it put a pressure on us that forced us to work really hard, be the best that we can be, and hopefully we'll continue to grow in that way and be presented with opportunities that drive us to create the best set we can.
Mm-hmm. Looking into the future, it's like it doesn't seem like the learning stops or like it gets any really less, you know, full-time, beautiful chaos. You know, it's all great, but it kind of never really settles. And I think that's part of this life is sort of embracing the craziness
of it
and all of the learning that you really have to be doing all of the time and keeping yourself open-minded and patient and calm and, you know, forgiving all of the pieces that sort of fall together weirdly and just sort of learning from everything and trying to be better and stronger for the future so that you can keep doing this type of work. The song you're about to hear is called Void. And we chose this song because it's probably one of our most dynamic and energetic songs and tells a story of sort of mystery and darkness, but sort of walks the line in the lyrics of disclosing some of that information so the listener can kind of receive it in whatever way they want to without actually having to cling to the story that we wrote it from. And performing it is always such a great time because I think we all feel it and interact with the audience equally in our own ways with our own instruments, and it always ends up being such a fun experience.
Everybody wants to know. When I get sleep, when you get high, where do you go? Oh, everybody wants to know. I could chase you down the road, listen to you whisper when you're alone, but oh. Thank you.
find our music online on Spotify and SoundCloud and YouTube. And you can follow us on social media on Facebook and Instagram. And some of our upcoming shows are Garage on Beck, Thursday the 8th of August. And then we have a show on for Alpine Days in Alpine on Saturday the 10th. And also a Soundwell show later that day on the 10th. And we also have a Park City show on the 17th at Miners Plaza. How did you make it past the wind, past the broken fence and in, through the empty house we found? Without a song, this episode of Sound Waves, take a minute to rate and review us on iTunes.
Not sure what to do with your weekend? Slug Mag's digital daily calendar has you covered. Check out our Slug event picks on slugmag.com.